Srimad-Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra Quit Song, Text Number 23. Aho Mahiyasi Jantor.
Aho Mahiyasi Jantor.
Jivitasya Yata Bhavam.
Jivitasya Yata Bhavam.
Bhima Pravarjitam Pindam.
Bhima Pavarjitam Pindam.
Adate Griha Palavat.
Adate Griha Palavat.
Aho.
Aho.
Alas.
Alas.
Mahiyasi.
Mahiyasi.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Chanto.
Chanto.
Of the living being.
Of the living being.
Jivita.
Jivita.
Asha.
Asha.
Hope for life.
Hope for life.
Yata.
Yata.
As much as.
As much as.
Bhavan.
Bhavan.
You are.
You are.
Bhima.
Bhima.
Of Bhimasena.
Of Bhimasena.
A brother of Yudhishthira's.
Brother of Yudhishthira's.
A Pavarjitam.
A Pavarjitam.
Remnants.
Remnants.
Pindam.
Pindam.
Foodstuff.
Foodstuff.
Adate.
Adate.
Eaten by.
Eaten by.
Grihapalavat.
Grihapalavat.
Like a household dog.
Like a household dog.
Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. Verily, you are living like a household dog and eating remnants of food given by Bhima. This in the Veda culture, the household dog didn't have a very high place. Nowadays, if you're living like a household dog, you're the head of the family. Proof one. A sadhu should never flatter kings or rich men to live comfortably at their cost. A sadhu is to speak to the householders about the naked truth of life so that they may come to their senses about the precarious life in material existence. Dhritarashtra is a typical example of an attached old man in household life. He had become a pauper in the true sense, yet he wanted to live comfortably in the house of the Pandavas, of whom Bhima especially is mentioned because personally he killed two prominent sons of Dhritarashtra, namely Duryodhana and Dushasana. These two sons were very much dear to him for their notorious and nefarious activities, and Bhima is particularly pointed out because he killed these two pet sons. Why was Dhritarashtra living there at the house of the Pandavas? Because he wanted to continue his life comfortably, even at the risk of all humiliation. Vidura therefore was astonished how powerful is the urge to continue life. This sense of continuing one's life indicates that a living being is eternally a living entity and does not want to change his bodily habitation. The foolish man does not know that a particular term of bodily existence is awarded to him to undergo a term of imprisonment, and the human body is awarded after many, many births and deaths as a chance for self-realization to go back home, back to Godhead. But persons like Dhritarashtra tried to make plans to live there in a comfortable position with profit and interest. But they do not see things as they are. Dhritarashtra is blind and continues to hope to live comfortably in the midst of all kinds of reverses of life. A sadhu like Vidura is meant to awaken such blind persons and thus help them go back to Godhead, where life is eternal. Once going there, no one wants to come back to this material world of miseries. We can just imagine how a responsible task is entrusted to a sadhu like Mahatma Vidura. Ahoma yisi jantura jivitasya yata bhavan pima pagarditam pindam adite kriya palavat. Alas, how powerful the hopes of a living being continue his life. Verily, you are living like a household dog. You're eating remnants of food given by Bhima. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Buddhaya Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Desitarane. It's mentioned that a sadhu should never flatter kings, a rich man to live comfortably at their cost. It's not that the devotees sometimes don't flatter others, because Prabhupada said we're trying to deliver the message of Krishna consciousness and at the same time try to create the atmosphere in which the message can be delivered. It is said that there are different qualities of speaking. Anuvegam karam vakyam satra priyahitam chayat swaryaya vyasanam chayva vangmana tapuchite. Vangmaya tapuchite. The austerity of speech means anuvegam karam vakyam. One should not agitate the minds of others. Of course, in this age, everyone's mind is already agitated. There's no question of agitating someone's mind, because everyone's mind is agitated. Just like we can't say, I fell down, because if you've already fallen, where do you fall from? So to think I fell down means that one time I'm imagining that I was actually elevated. But we should not unnecessarily agitate people's minds. Anuvegam karam vakyam satvam. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't say things that are truthful. Here Maharaj Vidura is saying things that are truthful. Of course, he had a very nice relationship with his brother. His brother took him as an advisor. So it wasn't that he was just knocking on someone's door, as I said yesterday. And then after the man opens the door, he said, I've noticed your teeth are loose. You seem to be half blind and deaf. And I hear your throat is something you're coughing up mucus. Just came by to tell you, I think you're going to die. Any other questions? It would not be very much appreciated. You'd probably have the door slammed in your face. But Maharaj Vidura was already, well, he was the brother of Dhritarashtra. And he was already an advisor to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra sometimes or usually didn't take his advice, but now he was certainly in a position by experience to realize that Vidura, what he was saying, was actually valid. But we find from Prabodhananda Saraswati, he says that sometimes we have to create another atmosphere. He said, Dante Nidaya Trinakam Patayor Nipatya Kakushatam, that Etadaham Bravimi Hayes Sarava Sakalam Vihayadwara Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Charne Kuruta Naraga. He says, Dante Nidaya Trinakam. In India, if you want to appear humble, then you take a straw and put it between your teeth. Trinakam is straw, or we say sometimes, blade of grass. And then, Patayor, at your feet, Nipatya. I am bowing down at your feet. And Kukam, Shatam, 1,000 to 100 times I'm flattering you. Flattering 100 times, etad bravimi, aham etad aham bravimi, he sadhava, O great saint, sakalam, all your so-called knowledge, vihayadurya, take it, bring it far away. Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Chandra Charne, Karuta Narada, and try to develop love for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So generally people won't listen to us. We don't listen to anyone either. So why should we expect anyone to listen to us? But if we want to get someone to listen to us, then we have to praise them. This is called, people are living in the material world to feed their false ego. We can't be God in the real sense of the term, but we can try to imagine that we're God. And we'll do anything to imagine that we're God, because it's our whole purpose of existence. Somehow or another, we want to feel like we're distinct from everyone else. And we want to be adored, and there has to be some profit. If I have some profit, then I can manipulate people, and I can imagine that I have so much in the bank, therefore I'm better than people who have nothing in the bank. And therefore I'm a good person because I have so much in the bank. And we can try to be distinct. Put a pin through our nose. No one else that I know has a pin through their nose. Yes, so many people now have a pin through their nose. So I'll put it through my ears also. Now they're following me. Now my tongue. I dare you. Put a pearl in, through your tongue. And if that doesn't work, then through my belly button. Somewhere or another, put something on my body that's distinct. Tattoos, I have a tattoos on my arm, but he has it on his legs also. He has it on his head. He has it all over his body, but my tattoos are green, his are just black and white. Distinction. And of course we want to be adored as being something very worthy of adoration because of our beauty, because of our wealth, because of our fame, because of our strength, because of our, well, even our renunciation. It sounds strange, renunciation, but people, they look like they've come out of hell, and maybe they have come out of hell, dressed in black and, you know, with all kinds of unusual decorations on their clothes. They want to appear as if they're renounced everything, but actually they want to be the head of some other society. They can lead this society, so they create their own little society, and they're the head of society, of that little society. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. In other words, people are, somehow or another, they want their false ego to be fed by profit, adoration, distinction, and because of that, there are some other things they become, what is that, sadhaninda, siddhachara, and what was the other one? Love. Sadhaninda, Siddhachara, and Kutinati. They commit so many sinful activities, they have so many bad relationships with others, they're envious, they do so many things that are bad to themselves and others. All ultimately, they want to feed their false ego. If we want to preach to people, we should feed their false ego. Because they're hungry. They can't hear anything unless they get a little satisfaction. So we tell them, you know, take a strong, oh, great personality. I've noticed your black clothes. They look so beautiful. I always like black. But you look, on you, they look even better. Something to capture people's attention so that they think, oh, this person's my devotee, they appreciate me, they probably, I should try to give them some benediction because they're taking me as God, and generally God gives benedictions, so complete my role. So what can I do for you? And then somehow or another, as they take the book, but we're really saying, hey, Sarva Sakala, Vihayadvara, take your foolish ideas and put them far away. But of course we don't tell people that, because they'll be insulted and they won't take the book. Or they won't listen to our philosophy. But instead we say, Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kuruta Nuraga. Just listen to the information that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to tell us. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam. At first, accept things which are favorable. We don't have to tell them to give up the unfavorable things first. Try to give them a higher taste. Then they may listen. But of course, what are we trying to give them? Not simply to flatter them, and then they give us, in return, profit, adoration, distinction also. I've learned the technique, going on book distribution, how to collect a lot of Lakshmi, and maybe sell a few books too. Praise everyone. Oh, you're all beautiful, you're all so kind, you're so intelligent, you're this and there and that. And you learn the art of praising, so you can get profit, adoration, distinction. One devotee is distributing books. And generally it's a good technique. You meet a mother and the daughter, and you go up to them, give them both a book and say, are you two sisters? So the mother said, oh, you're just trying to flatter me. But I'll give you a donation anyway. People want to be flattered, even if it sometimes appears to be false. Still, they like it. Better than you foolish, stupid, no good for nothing, ugly. Why don't you take this book? It'll give you some brains. It is said that honey attracts bees, and stool attracts flies. So we want the honeybee, we have to attract them with honey. We should try to, but on the other hand, it's not that we take the profit and we try to utilize it for our own adoration, for our own distinction. Oh, this person, everyone loves him, he must be a great person. No, if you want to attract people, just tell everyone how wonderful they are. Never criticize anyone, and they'll all fall in love with you. Oh, you're a great person. You recognize how wonderful I am. They don't care about your philosophy. Just the fact that you appreciate them is enough for them to appreciate you. But that will not help us at the time of death, that everything is wonderful. And then the time of death comes, it won't be so wonderful. You can teach a parrot to chant Hare Krishna, and the parrot will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But when you grab its throat, it won't be chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore Krishna says, Ukramantam Siddhim Vati Bhunjana Vagunandita Bimudo nani paishanti, paishanti yana chakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. We should not approach people who are foolish and at the end leave them even more foolish. Build up their false ego, take something from them, and leave them simply with a more inflated false ego and think we've helped them. It's like you go into the water, you hear a person's drowning, you dive into the water, swim out, grab hold of their bathing suit, rip it off them, swim back to the shore, and hold it up and say, I've saved them. The real person drowned in the ocean, you've taken their clothing, and you think, I've saved them. Make someone feel better. Now they don't feel so much of anxiety. Now they actually feel good about themselves. Feel good about their false ego, their false conception of life. They feel good, they're now no longer in anxiety, and therefore they're no longer alert to the fact that they're about to die. So now I've helped them. Help them fall into Maya more than they were already in. So what kind of help is that? One should judge the help by explaining to people what is reality. What the fact that you're changing your body and you're about to take another one, and it may not be a human form of life if your activities are not adequate. Man's walking over a cliff and you don't shout out because you want to be polite. We don't want to disturb him. On his way down, we'll chant Hare Krishna to him. So we should tell people the truth, but we should also try to create an atmosphere in which people will be able to hear the truth. Otherwise, we may be wasting our time, wasting their time, or we may tell them the truth and not be very effective. Therefore, not only satyam, hitam, something beneficial, and priya, it should be pleasing. And according to the shastra, anuraga karam vakyam sattva priyatam chaya svadaya vyasanam chaiva vangmanata purushate. We should tell not our own ideas about reality, but we should repeat what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Tell people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather than tell people millions of things, useless things, if we can just tell them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we'll be benefiting them. As it's been mentioned before, little Saraswati was 2 years old, the daughter of Malati and Shyama Sundar. She was in India with Prabhupada, and sometimes people would come up to Malati, or she would go up to people and ask them, do you know who Krishna is? If they say no, little Malati, 2 years old, would say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada said, that's perfect preaching. And one time when man came up to Saraswati, little Saraswati, and said, Saraswati, why are you chanting Hare Krishna? In a challenging way, he asked her that. So she took a little two-year-old hand and slapped him across the face. And Prabhupada said, this is nishtha, fixed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yari deka tarika krishna upadesh amar aigai guruhana taridesh. Whoever you meet, you try to tell them about Krishna. But we try to create the atmosphere in which people will be receptive to hear. Therefore, we have a science of making people receptive. Even the speaker, he's sitting on a chair or a cushion, whatever. It's not that the sound vibration can spread further if the higher he is. That's why we have a chair. Or usually it's the old devotees who give class and therefore they need a little extra cushion. No, the idea is that if someone's sitting on the cushion, we think, well, he must have done something to deserve this cushion. I don't have much faith in them. I know them very intimately, but somehow or another they got the cushion, so maybe I should listen. Similarly, our whole process of initiation and process of initiation is more or less to create the atmosphere in which we become conducive to listen. It's not just all theoretical and praising, but we're trying to create a situation by which we can hear four regular principles. Aspiring to take initiation. Of course, the devotees, they think initiation means that I hear enough, I follow enough, and then I take initiation, and my spiritual master takes all my sinful reactions, and then I'm all right. Everything's all right. I struggle a little bit, and maybe I don't do so well, so I go to my spiritual master, and he reconfirms that everything's all right. In other words, he re-accepts all my reactions. And at the time of death, if there's some fault, he comes and takes them again. So I can go back to Godhead. He can stay here and suffer for some time, because he's very kind. No, the whole idea is to develop an urge, as it says in the Bhagavatam, or develop desire, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, atachitam samadhatum, nasakshana simayistiram, apyasena yogena tato, mamis chantan dunanjaya. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, try to develop the desire to attain me. We may think, oh, my desire is insignificant, because our desire probably is insignificant. We have many insignificant desires. Itevidu swarthi kitim hi vishnu dharashya ye bahir artamanina. Dharashya artamanina. We're taking shelter of so many things which we know are bad shelters, are useless. And it gets, as Kali Yuga goes on, it gets worse and worse. Someone becomes absorbed in some football team, as if that's his salvation. If his team wins, then he's a winner. And if his team loses, he's a loser. Or now we have the Olympics. People get absorbed in watching sports, people who've studied and practiced very hard a particular aspect of sports, as if that will make our body any healthier, stronger, or faster. Watching them and appreciating them is our salvation. I can hardly get up and change the channel on the television. So when I watch sports, I become super empowered. Therefore, our desire should be put in something which is actually going to give us some benefit, like following four regular principles. Then we get some strength in spiritual life that we're able to hear about Krishna. And we follow the whole process of surrender, which includes, for instance, giving up this idea, I'm free to do whatever my body and mind tell me to do. Of course, I never say that, I never claim that, because I'm a good devotee, although I act like that. And no one's watching me, so the devotees can't really say, you know, that I'm not a great devotee, because they don't know what I'm really thinking and doing. Therefore, I can, in the society of devotees, I can pretend that I'm a great personality. And anyone who's not up to our standard, we condemn, because they're not worthy of being in our presence, in our association. Although, in my own consciousness, I know that there's so much lacking in me, but still I pretend that everything's all right. Therefore, instead of trying to pretend that I'm very elevated, there's no problem, everything's cool because I'm externally I appear to be a very nice person, following all the principles, etc., etc., etc. But actually one has to develop internally by the real process of surrender. And therefore, as I surrender, then Krishna will reward me. He rewards everyone as they surrender, he says. If I follow the process that is given to us by our acharyas, through Prabhupada's instructions, then gradually we can take part in the process of surrender, and in that respect, we can get Krishna's mercy. If I think I'm free to do anything my senses and mind dictate to me, and it doesn't really matter what I do, as long as it appears that I'm a great personality, well then we don't make very much progress. Therefore we have to choose someone, because someone we choose as an authority, they must actually be giving us the instructions coming from Krishna. Otherwise the surrender to the wrong instructions is also not going to help us very much. Better than not surrendering at all. The process of being surrendered is better than being rebellious. But we should surrender to the instructions coming from Krishna. It's the instructions coming from Krishna that will liberate us. Everything else is part of the process to help us take advantage of Krishna's instructions. Therefore, the spiritual master is one who is supposed to have seen the truth. If you've seen the truth, but then he tells us some falsehood, he misdirects us, then he hasn't really seen the truth. Because anyone who's actually seen the truth may become mad after the truth, because the truth is the all unlimitedly blissful Krishna. There's nothing superior. Only when we become Krishna conscious can we actually become aware and satisfied. There is no other substitute for Krishna. Therefore, one who's seen the truth will only talk about the truth or lead us to the truth. Therefore, we have to choose those who are at least only giving us information. And if we're doubtful, then what anyone is saying has to be confirmed by Shastra. Ye Shastra vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata nisasadim avatnoti nasukam napuramgitim. Ye Shastra vidim utsrija Vartate kamakarata nisasadima vatnodina sukamna puramditin. One who gives up Shastra and acts according to his whim can attain neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Therefore, one should know what is duty, what is not duty by the direction of Shastra, and knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become elevated. And Mahajano Yena Katasapanda. The aim of Shastra, ultimately, is to help us become conscious of Krishna. So one who is conscious of Krishna and teaches us how to become conscious of Krishna, then they become a Mahajan, a person to follow the instructions. And if one is actually conscious of Krishna, as much as we become conscious of Krishna, their activities are worthy of becoming followed. Therefore, Mahatma Madhura was telling Dhritarashtra the truth because the atmosphere is conducive for it. He was an old man. All the symptoms were there. He didn't have to tell him how nice his shoes were, or you know, he loves the wallpaper in his house. He didn't have to have all kinds of formalities. He could get right. And apparently he got right to the point, because we don't really know. It's not that he walked into Dhritarashtra's house and, you know, said hello. He may have, after coming back from pilgrimage, he didn't walk to his house and say, I think you're going to die. But the Bhagavatam doesn't deal with all the details. But it just says that when he did preach to him, the atmosphere was conducive that Dhritarashtra listened to him, and the result was that Dhritarashtra went to the forest and did follow his instructions. But we should be sure that the people we're talking to are actually listening to us. Even Krishna told us, asked Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Kachireta Chutamparata, Vayanakai Granda Chetasa,
Vichiragana Sambhuta
Pranatas Te Dhananjaya. Have you heard this with your mind and attention? Or did you actually fall asleep during my speaking Bhagavad Gita? Were your eyes open but you were asleep? What were you thinking about, the battle? Did you actually hear me with attention? And is your illusion now dispelled? Nashta moha smitir labdha kachire tachitam bharta tvayakagrena chetasa kachit agina. Is your ignorance and illusion now dispelled? So Arjuna said, yes, nashta moha, my illusion has now been dispelled. Nashta moha smitir labdha. Now I've woken up, I remember again what's actually going on. Tat prasada maya chaita. It's because you mercifully explained this knowledge to me. Sitos mikata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. Now I'm actually prepared to act and follow your instructions. So that's the proof that Arjuna heard Krishna's instructions, that he acted according to his directions and fought in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So that's the effectiveness of our preaching. We'll be shown that people actually do something, not that they sit there and they say yes, 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 and then afterwards they go and do exactly the opposite of what we had to say. Prabhupada's effectiveness in preaching was the fact that he was able to induce so many people from all over the world, and is still inducing through his books and his movements, to take up Krishna consciousness. Not that Prabhupada went from place to place and preached, and after he left, and nothing was there. Like Alexander the Great, he conquered one country after another, and by the time he left one country, it fell apart, his administration he set up. So that by the time he conquered most of the world, he had nothing left. Therefore, we should preach in such a way as at least try to give people something of validity, of some value, according to what they can actually absorb. And the effectiveness of their preaching will be judged by its results. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Să ne îndeplinim îndatoririle față de strănoși, în caz să nu ne eliberăm, să fie și ei eliberați. Cum să ne îndeplinim îndatoririle față de strănoși, în caz de, dacă nu ne eliberăm, să fie și ei
eliberați. How can we do our duty toward our ancestors, so that they will have benefit?
Well, according to Lord Narsingadeva, who's one of our authorities, he told Prahlad Maharaj that just by the fact that you become a devotee, that 20 generations of your ancestors before and after will be liberated. That's not good enough for you? You can go to Gaia every year and do some pinda. You could offer some prasad to your ancestors every year at Gaia. Of course, the airplane ticket will cost more than the prasad. What were you thinking of?
Like the Christians, they also do some kind of things.
And what happens? What are they doing? Offer a candle. So if their ancestors are in the darkness of ignorance, at least they'll have some light to see them. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert at helping ancestors. I just know if we try to become a pure devotee, then Krishna will help our ancestors. Prabhupada once wrote to me, he said, just like if you're fighting on a battle, in a battle, then the government takes care of all the people, all your relatives at home. So if we fight for Krishna, then Krishna will take care of all the people who we're obliged to. Because we're fighting on behalf of Krishna. And Krishna is very capable of doing that. As a matter of fact, he even knows who our ancestors are. We don't even know who our ancestors are. We may be walking on the street, we may be stepping on our ancestors. For all we know. Oh, that was my great great grandmother. I didn't recognize. Grandharajama Bhagavatam ki jai.
Prabhupada ki jai.
Lord Pranam ki jai. Nanda Nanda Maharaj ki jai.